my pleasure at this time, colleagues, to introduce to you a man who is no stranger to us in the BCTF. Jim Sinclair. I'm supposed to say a few nice things about Jim, but I'm not going to. Jim has endless energy, and I have witnessed that as I have seen him on a schedule of traveling around the province, meeting with many of our members and members of other unions, community meetings, to raise issues and to talk about the decimation that this government has done to working people and to the rights that we enjoy. So, without further ado, Jim Sinclair.
Wonderful to be here. I think for the sixth or seventh time I've been to this convention. Thank you for the kind words. I was thinking the other day, when you get all these introductions, you come to the front of the room. What they should really say is also all that CV stuff is, you know, who's the guy I've been fired by? Kind of a choice, you know, who fires you? I was thinking the other day about who's fired me. And I got fired a couple of times I can remember. One was about 25 years ago. And I was a reporter in a small town called Nelson, and some guy named Conrad Black decided I didn't like what I was writing, so I got fired by Conrad Black, and I felt that was pretty good of my CV. And I gotta say, you know, in the last year or so I've been reading the papers as you had, sometimes it feels like a justice takes a long time, but Conrad Black suddenly got some of his own justice reprieve. So good for Conrad, justice comes, Conrad. However, the other guy I got fired by was a little more recent times. I was in another era, not the new era, but another era. In another era, I was the one of the executive members of the BC Hydro Corporation. And of course, after the last election, a guy named Gordon Campbell fired me. And I just want to say today that, you know, it was no surprise to being fired by Gordon Campbell, but I must say, I'm expecting justice a lot faster than Conrad Black got his for Gordon Campbell, and we're going to take care of that, folks. Talk about, I was actually a little nervous coming here tonight, you know. I mean, actually, I heard you're giving out awards. You're pretty famous awards, actually. This idea of a new era, you just about had enough of that? You notice they didn't run on this campaign on a new era. They had to think of a new name for it so we wouldn't remember the new era. But you know, you talk about bad ideas the other day, you know, you pick up the paper and you know, you don't usually get much of the truth in the paper, but there was a National Post with a guy named George Bush calling for a new era in the United States. I was going to send a letter to those folks. Watch out, folks. These bad ideas travel fast. I want to thank you all for being here. For being here again on your week off. Spending time talking about the future of this province, spending time talking about children and what's happening to them in this province, and about the future of the province. This spring break is a time for a lot of teachers to relax, to get away, to get ready for the next 3 or 4 months or 3 months until you get some time off in the summertime, and I appreciate what you do every day is a lot of work. But I also want to just say I do travel the province a lot. I do spend a lot of time away from home. I want to thank my partner, Susan Kroll, who is also a teacher, for putting up with that. Thank you, Susan, for what you do every day. Public education. I don't have to tell you how important that is. You know that more than I do. I don't have to tell you what this fellow's done, and this government's done, and this set of MLAs have done to public education. Fewer teachers, larger classes. They talk about the best time to learn in British Columbia. They must be on another planet. It's always been a good time, but it's not the best time, that's for sure. And the issue in this province, in public education, is, as Jenny said, whether or not we're going to have a public education system where all citizens in this province have the opportunity to go forward and get an education, or whether we're going to have increasingly an underfunded under-supported public education system and a larger and more growing private education system. And let us say today, and let us say until our last breath, there is only one answer for working people's children in this province, and that's a fully funded public education system where every kid has an opportunity. And that's what we're fighting for in this election in the part of the province. It is the only answer for us. And what did they tear up in your collective agreements? What did they tear up? They tore up class sizes, the ability to provide teaching assistance, special needs teachers, keeping libraries open. They tore those things up because they wanted to force back the quality of education in this province. Collective bargaining, seen much of that lately? Well, you know, the Wright Report came down. Now, don't tell me anybody in this room was surprised the Wright Report came down and what it said. Not really. I mean, you went, as you have to do to these things, and put forward your positions and represent the interests of teachers and students in this province. And at the end of the day, you got a report. As I tallied it up, 14 employer proposals and zero BCTF proposals. And what did it say? It said no to teacher collective bargaining. It said no to bargaining learning conditions in our classrooms for our children and for your working conditions. And it said yes to forced arbitration. This is no answer for teachers, for public sector workers, or for students in this province. This Wright Report cannot be accepted in British Columbia. Of course, there's no surprise there. This government has made over 125 changes. 125 changes to the Employment Standards Branch, to the WCB, to the Labor Code. The figure there looks pretty simple. 125 changes, 125 changes for the employers, 125 changes against workers. Is that any surprise to anybody in this room? You know, when I think about this, and I hear them now running ads and telling us they're protecting children, how can they stand there with a straight face and say to British Columbians, after we took some of the best child labor laws in North America and the world, we stripped them down to you can send a kid age 12 into a workplace with no government control, no oversight, no nothing, so that we have the lowest standards for child labor in British Columbia? How can they stand there and say we're protecting children? How can you say that when you water down the rules that protect the health and safety of children and fire any independent child advocate in this province? Sisters and brothers, there is no way that we should allow this government to open its mouth anywhere in this province and say they've done a better job for children in British Columbia. And you have done a hell of a job making sure that that does not happen. The education system in British Columbia needs three things. It needs a government with the political will and the guts and the commitment to make it work. It needs adequate funding, so that the money is going into the system to keep it growing and keeping up with the needs of British Columbians. It needs a situation where the learning conditions of students are part of the collective bargaining process, and it needs free collective bargaining. And the Federation of Labor is committed to making sure you get all three of them. You know, this election is about hope. It's about ability to say to young people that they can have hope and to open doors. You travel this province. A teacher stood up at a public meeting the other day. And she said in Prince George, I talked to my grade 12 class. Down in the office, we have scholarships for going on to post-secondary education. And I said to them, why aren't you doing this? Why are those scholarships sitting down in the office and you haven't taken them? And the answer she said from the class was, because even with those scholarships, we can't afford to go to post-secondary education. And that is wrong and shameful in British Columbia. You know, it's it, you know, I go into classrooms. In fact, I was in one in Prince Rupert lately, and the local folks didn't like the fact the layman was in a classroom. It was on the front page of the news the next day, you know, people complaining. The Federation of Labor went into a classroom and talked to students. Well, as you know, shame on that. The good news was the editor of the paper wrote an article saying, well, you know, we think it's good that Jim Sinko was in classrooms. And actually, these students, as you know, can make up their own minds about what's true and what's false. And P.S., if anybody's upset, they should know that Lauren Mellencourt's coming into the classroom next week, right? But, you know, you look at those kids, you know, they need an education. And they know they need post-secondary education, but they also know that tuition's gone up 70% and doors are closing, and all across the North and the interior, we have empty spaces in post-secondary colleges. At the same time, you pick up the paper every day, and what you hear is skill shortage, skill shortage, skill shortage. What's wrong with this picture, folks? We got wanting classrooms in post-secondary education, and we have demands for skill shortages. We know people need education. You can't walk out of grade 12 and get a job that's worth much these days. And we know the apprenticeship program. You think you know you get this right. You need apprentices. We need to train kids. We need to have skilled jobs. So what are we doing? We look at the figures. You're going to hear a lot of lies. The figures speak for themselves. The only way you can really judge this is how many people graduated last year and how many people graduated 4 years ago. And if you look at the number, it went from 2,800 down to 1,200. That says it all. And why did that happen? Because we fired 128 people that took care of apprenticeships in this province. Because we took away all the rules for apprenticeships. Because we fired 300 volunteers. Because we said, as a government, the government said, not us, said, we don't care about apprenticeships. We just want to train people a little bit. And we're going to use cheap labor to build this economy. Sisters and brothers, let's be very clear that the vision we have for British Columbia isn't cheap labor and deregulated industries. It's skilled labor, highly educated people competing in the world in an open way so we have decent wages and decent working conditions. And that's our job. This has to be about hope. This has to be about hope for the future. This election has to be about hope for healthcare. We got it right. It's no different than education. We know that. Healthcare is one of the things we care about and love in this country because we got it right. I'd never stand here and say it's all perfect out there because you know it isn't. But let's be very honest. The way that we have treated patients in this province, the way we have treated healthcare workers in this province, and almost most disgusting, the way we have treated seniors, or as some people like to call them, honored citizens who built this province, the way we have treated them is shameful in British Columbia. Shameful, folks. And you know, that's the message we have to get out there when they stand. Well, we've built all these new spaces for seniors all around the province. You go all around the province. How many of you know of a long-term care facility in your community that's closed down? Put your hands up. That's right, because all around this province, they've closed down long-term care facilities, separated out seniors, and said we no longer respect them. This election is about going back to a society where we take care of everybody in the healthcare system and where we make sure seniors are respected for the job they've done for British Columbia, not abused like this government has done to them. You're going to hear a lot about the economy. I heard the other day that the CEOs are going to spend their hard-earned money and they're going to hit the road to tell everybody all around the province what a great economy we have. And that if you want to go backwards, vote for the NDP. You want to go forwards, vote for the Liberals. It'll be wonderful when we go forward. Well, you know, I guess if you're a CEO, and you've sort of knocked off 35, 50, 60% wage increases in the last 3 years, you've had the biggest tax cuts in the history of Canada go to you, you've seen your incomes rise, you've seen your power rise, you've seen the rules that protect working people watered down, you're pretty happy today. In fact, you're really happy. If you own pulp mills and sawmills in this province, you're really happy because you can put those tree farm licenses together now. There's no rules. You don't have to justify it. You don't lose 5% that stay in the community. Nothing ties those trees to the community anymore. So those guys from the CEOs, the forest companies will be telling you it's great. All the Alcan will be telling you great because out of Kitimat you can now export the power instead of build jobs in Kitimat. So they're going to be out there, yes, Kitimat folks. You know, they'll tell you things are looking up. The people building private hydro around the province and private coal generating places, they're going to tell you it's great. But we have to get the message out that there's two economies in this province. For the wealthy and Bay Street, sorry, at House Street, they're all the same, those streets. It's all the same folks these days. You know, for those folks, this has been a great government. For working people, this has been a disastrous government. And it will get worse, not better, if they're elected. It will get worse, not better. Imagine that. On your record, you can claim as a government that you've allowed a 300% increase in the export of logs from British Columbia. One in four saw-cut logs off Vancouver Island heading off. Why? Because Weyerhaeuser and Timber West on private lands just ships them off because they make more money and close down mills. 10 mills could be operating on the logs today that we ship out. This is isn't building an economy, this is selling a province. Yes. Sisters and brothers, we got to build the economy, and that's what we need to do for working people. You know, I've got the note here from the leader here. I want to say a couple things about where we go from here, because I want to thank all of you. I've traveled this province a lot. We sat down a year ago with the BCTF and other unions. You guys came to our convention, put a motion on the floor. And by the way, I just got to say, listening to this convention, last convention of the BC, is the second time you were there, there was at least 6 resolutions amended on the floor. Good work, folks. It's coming, you know. It's coming, folks. And the speaking time is down from 4 minutes to 5 minutes to 4 minutes. Thank you very much. Keep going. We're going to change, as you will change, I'm sure. The next election. We can make history in the next 6 weeks. We started a year ago. We knew they were going to spend millions on advertising. We'll do our advertising, but we know we're not going to win with advertising. We're not going to buy our dreams. That's what they do. We're going to have to work for them. Saying the other day, how many times, you know, I like to sit around and watch TV when I, you know, watch TV and that thing clicks and you do it. But you know, all the times I've sat there watching TV, no one's ever rushed in and said, Jim, do you want a pay increase? I'll give you a pay increase. You need a pension plan? You know, the real choice in this election is whether we're going to sit it out or we're going to get off the couch and go out there and do our jobs. That's really the issue here, folks, is whether we're going to go do it. Because let me tell you, the Vancouver Sun ain't going to do it for us. The folks at Van Howe Street aren't going to do it for us. The only people going to change the outcome of this election, change what they think is going to happen, is working people in this province. And that's not going to just be teachers, but it's going to be woodworkers, it's going to be healthcare workers, it's going to be public sector workers, private sector workers. All of us together can change the outcome of this election and make sure that working people have a place in this province. And that's our number one task for the next 8 weeks, and we're going to do that. And May 18th, when we wake up, as we surely will, and hopefully with a hell of a hangover for all the right reasons, but when we wake up on May the 18th, we have to be able to look ourselves in the face, in the mirror, look at each other, look honestly at each other and say, whatever the outcome on May 17th is, we did everything in our power to change that outcome for the better. Because, you know, on May the 18th, all those things we hate will still be there, even if we change the government. We will still need free collective bargaining in this province, and we'll have to fight for that with any government that we have to, and you'll have to do that, and we'll do it together. We'll still have to fight Howe Street and the folks that want to sell this province off. We'll still have to go out and continue organizing to make sure that in November, city councillors and school boards across this province represent children and the people of their communities, and we'll win there too, sisters and brothers. Sisters and brothers, thank you very much. I love coming here. You're a wonderful group of people. Thank you for your hospitality. And let's go out and continue to fight for all those things we believe in. Thank you very much.